He's the most important French composer that you have never heard of. His name is Florent Schmidt. Joanne Folletta discovered him a while back thanks to scholar Philip Nones. It was Nones that introduced her to the musical scores of Florent Schmidt, and all of a sudden she realized that this was a real treasure box of music, and she didn't know any of it. And she was pretty sure a lot of us didn't know about it either. That's why she wanted to make this recording with the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra. It's what you're going to hear about this week on New Classical Tracks from American Public Media. I'm Julia Macher. So I guess the first thing I should ask you is, how are you, and what's happening at this point with the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra? Are you having concerts? Have you scheduled your fall season?
Well, we are going ahead. No, I'm fine. Thank you, Julia. And when the entire orchestra survived without incident, we all stayed well. And we played. We didn't play from March to September. We just made pretty much solo videos, with one exception of a big Firebird video we did when we all played together in our living rooms and put the lines of the piece together. But as of September, we started to play. And for the first 7 months or so, it was only streamed. There was no audience. But we have opened up these last couple of months, and it's been such a joy to see audiences. Up to 500. We haven't gone beyond 500, but it's been so joyful. We can't believe that people are there. We're just smiling at us. It's been great. And we have a full season in place for 21-22 with the full orchestra on the stage. And we are very hopeful about that.
Let's talk about a composer that you've been very excited about, and this happens to be his 150th birth anniversary year, a French composer by the name of Florent Schmidt. Why is it, I guess my first question is, how did you discover this composer?
Well, it was actually years ago through a wonderful man named Philip Nones, who was a great scholar of Florent Schmidt, and convinced me to look at some scores. And I just fell in love with it. And it was amazing to me, Julie, that I hadn't even known his name before. And I asked my friends, no one knew of Florent Schmidt. Who was he? But he was a very important French composer, right in the most kind of sensuous time in France, post-Impressionism and between Impressionism and Modernism. So between the fragrant times of Debussy and Ravel and then the really modern times of Boulez and Messiaen and the modern school, there was this extraordinary composer who really was a kind of bridge. And Florent Schmidt, although he was French to the core, also had a tremendous love of Richard Strauss, Richard Wagner, and the Russian school as well. So his French music, while it has lots of traces of Impressionism, is more earthy in a way, more vivid, more red-blooded somehow, because he's taking the sort of passion of German music and infusing it with the elegance of the French school that he's inheriting. And amazing, amazing music, and music that tells a story, music that exploits every possible color of the orchestra. And that link, I felt, was important, so it seemed strange to me that we had the big gap there in French music that he perfectly fit. And a very prolific composer and very long lived. He lived from 1870 to 1958. So it was like a treasure box of music that I didn't know at all.
He also had an interest in jazz. You know, we've talked about his French influences, his German influences. How did jazz influence his music, or did it?
It did, and he traveled a lot. He loved to travel, and he used it to sort of inspire himself. And jazz was something that he, you know, a lot of French people felt the same way. They loved American jazz. There was something about it that clicked with them. And even his love of the saxophone might have come partly from an interest in jazz. So I'm not sure if in all of his music you will hear that interest in jazz, but it did influence how he thought about rhythm. And his rhythmic complexities are one of the most interesting parts of the scores for me.
There are two ballets featured on this particular recording, and the larger work is telling the story of Salome. Could you talk a little bit about this ballet and how he approached what I consider really a tragic tale?
You know, it is a tragic tale, and he was inspired by Strauss's opera. There's no question that might have been sort of the genesis for it. But his Salome is quite different. It's more French, if you could, less brutal in terms of the opera, where it can be brutal. Salome sings in this music. She sings a wordless song. We had a beautiful mezzo-soprano, Susan Platts. And she has a chorus of young handmaidens. We used our Buffalo Girls Choir for that. So that was completely unique. Yes, I mean, there still is, of course, a tragic end, but it's very sensuous music, very sensuous in a French way. And Schmidt had a particular love, and I don't know why this was, but he did, for women of questionable virtue, like Oriane or like Salome. I mean, he was interested in these kinds of women, and he exploits their beauty, but also their danger in how he writes. So it's his own take on the story of Salome, but a very beautiful one.
The story of Orion is also told through a ballet, which was a commission by the renowned Ida Rubinstein. Can you talk about that storyline and describe how Schmidt reflects that story through his music?
Well, his music is filled with orgies, and you know what we can imagine are those nights in the palace and what all. Orion is a very beautiful woman, or maybe the most beautiful woman in the world. So men are drawn to her, but she herself never falls in love. You know, she uses these men and destroys them and goes on to the next, but she never gives her heart to anyone. She feels nothing for them. But at one point, the Prince of Love arrives in the palace and she falls in love with him. But he does not give his heart to her. And she is destroyed by that. So it's maybe a philosophical kind of ballet, but he clothes this in this these wonderful seductive scenes. Also wild dancing. I've never seen the ballet. I can only imagine what it was like because the music is so powerful, is so torrential. I mean, about this woman who's dancing with one man after the next and then is finally undone by love itself, the Prince of Love. So extraordinary, sort of graphically, musically depicted stories.
legend closes out this recording, and it was written originally for alto saxophone, commissioned by a woman who played the saxophone for health reasons. Do you know more about that story?
I know that there was this woman who did that. She also commissioned Debussy to write his famous piece for saxophone. Good for her, my goodness. But that isn't that an odd thing? So the original version is saxophone, and it's very beautiful on saxophone. The French have a special feeling for the saxophone. But then he rewrote it for viola and finally for violin. And Nicky played, of course, the violin version, our concertmaster Nicky Chui. And I think that one is the most beautiful because the register of the violin enabled him to express the deep-throated longing of the low register violin, you know, this sort of gritty, sort of mournful quality that you can get. And then to soar up to the extreme high notes of the violin, that kind of two-dimension with all the colors in between, I think works the best for this piece, because the violin in those different registers sounds very different. The saxophone has a kind of smoothness that didn't lend itself to those timbral differences, but Nicky's violin does. I mean, and it's just a beautiful piece that no violinist knows. I hope they'll start playing it. It's gorgeous.
The composer never explained the title, which is Legend. Why do you think he allowed that mystery to remain?
Oh, I think he was quite a man of mystery. I think that was part of the allure of that time, that not everything is said. You know, some of the stories you can follow, but some of them you just wonder about.
Florent Schmidt also created a setting for voice called Music Upon the Waters, an example of word painting. How does he do that with mezzo Susan Platz being featured on this piece?
Well, you know, it's the sort of textures that he uses. We get a feeling that we are on an undulating surface, and he does that very beautifully. And Susan could be perhaps one of those mermaids or beautiful sea creatures that would lure sailors to crash upon the rocks, you know, because their singing was so beautiful. That might be the connection here, the legend of the mermaids who supposedly would sing so beautifully and were so beautiful. So again, he doesn't really spell it out, but one gets the sense that you are on the water and you're hearing this magical voice singing. It just talks about music and beauty and doesn't say very much, but it's the colors of the piece and the fragrance of the piece. They're so extraordinary that it's enough to just kind of revel in them.
I know you've said a lot about Florent Schmidt, but if you had to do an elevator speech, to really convince somebody to get to know this composer, what is it that you want everyone to know about him?
Well, you know, I say it in one sentence, and this might sound silly, but it really does express it. He is the most important French composer that you have never heard of. And people are intrigued by that because we know so many French composers. We've never heard of him, and he is so important and so wonderful. A true colorist, but with more vivid colors, perhaps, than Debussy and Ravel, who we might say, I mean, painted with pastels, but not Florent Schmidt. He's red-blooded, and He is French, but he's borrowing every way of making music from the German and Russian masters, and it just has to be heard to be believed.
The music of Florent Schmitt, one of the most important French composers that you have never heard of, with Joanne Folletta and the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra. If you're enjoying New Classical Tracks, the best thing that you can do for the show is to tell somebody else about it, help spread the word, and take a moment to rate and review us on your podcasting app. Thanks to Valerie Kaler, the producer for New Classical Tracks. And since you're clearly a music fan, let me tell you about another podcast you might want to check out, the Piano Puzzler Podcast. Every week, host Fred Child invites composer Bruce Adolph into the studio to play one of his brilliant musical mind games. Bruce takes a familiar tune, disguises it in the style of a classical composer, and then a contestant has to call in and try to solve the riddle. It's the Piano Puzzler Podcast, and you can find it wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Julie Amacher, the host of New Classical Tracks.